Welcome back. We're continuing with the subject of destruction. And in part 2b, we're going to learn about the consequences of the fall, which is found on pages 60 to 67 of the book. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In the first punishment, God cursed the serpent and told him that there would be enmity between him, Satan, and the woman, which represents the church or the believers. According to Genesis 3 verse 20, Eve is the mother of all of mankind. Now there is an important part in Genesis 3 verse 15 that you should read very carefully, because it deals with the very plan of salvation which we learned about in the previous episode. One of the descendants of the woman would one day bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent would bruise his heel. This part of the verse is actually a prophecy. Do you know what a prophecy is? Remember how we learned earlier that God exists outside of time because he created time? This means that he can see everything from the beginning to the end of all time. A prophecy is therefore a revelation from God to humanity about things that will happen in our future. And because some of those things have already taken place, we can look back into history to see how perfectly God's prophecies have been fulfilled. This is what makes the Bible so unique and timeless, more so than any other book that exists or that ever will exist. The prophecy in Genesis 3 verse 15 refers to the fact that Jesus Christ would come to the earth to completely destroy Satan and his work of deception. Jesus would die on the cross on our behalf, and because he rose again after 3 days, he conquered the curse of sin, which is death, once and for all, forever. And so Jesus bruised the serpent's head, and the serpent represents Satan. And then God judged Eve. To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Even though God was deeply saddened by their sin, he still loved Adam and Eve as much as ever. He was especially sad because he knew what terrible consequences sin would have for them and all of their descendants. God told Eve that because of her sin, her pain and effort in childbirth would be greatly increased. God then told Adam that the earth was now cursed because of their sin, and that it would yield thorns and thistles. These did not exist before the fall. Where Adam's work was an absolute pleasure to do in the past, it would now require a lot of effort. For the rest of their lives on earth, humanity would have to work very, very hard for the soil to yield their food. Eventually, Adam and Eve would die, and their bodies would become dust again. All of creation was thrown into disarray because the consequences of sin continue to affect all of creation to this very day. Can you imagine how sad Adam and Eve must have been when, for the very first time, they saw a flower wilt, fall to the ground, rot, and die? Perhaps they mourned and cried over it as one cries over a loved one that is lost to death. In the rotting of the flower, they saw the consequences of sin very clearly, how sin would eventually lead to death. To this day, all of creation groans under the sad and tragic consequences of sin. We see it in crops that fail, in droughts, and in floods. We experience it with terrible storms and tsunamis that devastate vast areas. And we see it when we bite into a juicy plum, only to find a worm inside that already spoiled it. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. You know, God could have destroyed every flower and flower bud. He could have completely taken away their sweet fragrance. But in the same way that we can see the effects of sin in thorns and thistles, we can see God's infinite love for us in the delicate scent and beautiful colors of the flowers. In this way, we can see that God will love us forever and that His mercy is still available to us. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. We learn about quite a few things in these verses. We learn that God made clothes from animal skin for Adam and Eve. And as mentioned, this implies that at least one animal had to die because of their sin. In Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we are told that the fruit of this tree, the tree of life, will bring healing. Everyone who goes to heaven will eat this fruit and live with God forever. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. If Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit of this tree in their sinful state, man would have become immortal and would have had to live in the sinful condition forever. This is why God could not allow them to eat the fruit of this tree. He commanded an angel to guard the access to Eden and therefore also to the tree of life. By the way, this proves once again that mankind is mortal. We would only have been immortal if we had remained obedient and had unlimited access to the tree of life. Even though Adam eventually lived for 930 years, both Adam and Eve slowly began to die from that very moment when they chose to sin. Now, have you ever wondered why there is so much pain and suffering, disease, war, sadness in the world today? Many people blame God and say that He cannot be a loving God if all these terrible things happen in the world. But remember, the day that God created Adam and Eve, He created them perfect, healthy, and happy. They were created with the ability to choose between obedience and disobedience to God, just like we have to make that choice every single day. When we make a choice, we have to accept the consequences of that choice as well. When Adam and Eve chose disobedience, the consequences was that sin, disease, suffering, and death came into the world. This was certainly not how God intended life for mankind to be. All the people on planet Earth are descendants of Adam and Eve, whether they want to believe it or not. And all of our lives are touched by heartache because of sin. From the moment that we are born, sin and rebellion reign in our hearts and cause hardship and difficulty in our lives. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, Satan's way of doing things have never changed. He still tries to make us doubt God's love, righteousness, and trustworthiness. It is also his objective to make us doubt whether God is truly the creator of everything in existence. We are engaged in a spiritual war against Satan, and this is a war that we cannot win on our own. The good news is that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has already overcome Satan. We need Jesus every second of every hour of every day so that we, through his power, can make the right decision. After God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden, they had a little baby boy whom they named Cain. Not too long thereafter, another baby boy was born to them, and his name was Abel. Cain eventually became a crop farmer, while Abel became a keeper of sheep. One day, both of them separately sacrificed to God. Cain sacrificed the yield of his crop, while Abel sacrificed his best lamb. But then something happened. God accepted and was pleased with Abel's sacrifice of his very best lamb. But God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice, which consisted of the fruit of the ground, and he rejected it. It must sound rather unfair to you, but you see, a sacrifice to God has a very specific purpose. The innocent lamb was actually a symbol of Christ, who would sacrifice his innocent and sinless life to pay the penalty for the sins of fallen humanity. The blood of the lamb represents Christ's blood that washes away our sin. This is why people in the Old Testament brought blood sacrifices to the Lord. In this way, they showed that they understood how sin leads to death, and that an innocent lamb, Jesus Christ, would one day give the perfect sacrifice on behalf of all of mankind. That is why it is written, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible further explains how Abel brought his sacrifice to God in faith because his heart was sincere. But Cain's heart was not sincere, and God knew this. Cain could have traded his crop of fruit for one of Abel's lambs, but he didn't. And when God rejected his sacrifice, Cain became very upset and angry. So the Lord God said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." If only Cain had listened to God's loving warning, but unfortunately, Cain ignored it, and consequently, he just became angrier and angrier and angrier. And then one day, when Cain and Abel were alone in the field, Cain's pent-up anger suddenly boiled over, and the next moment he struck Abel, his own brother, and killed him. Isn't that just terrible? It's the first murder ever on earth. God saw everything that had happened, and when he asked Cain where his brother was, Cain blatantly lied and responded very disrespectfully with, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Wow, can you imagine having the audacity to speak to the Almighty God, King and Creator of all, in such a disrespectful manner? After this, God cursed Cain. And he, God, said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." Today we no longer have a sacrificial system. The entire system came to an end when Jesus, the Lamb of God, brought the perfect sacrifice. That single and perfect sacrifice that replaced the Old Testament sacrifices was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. This is why God no longer wants us to bring any other blood sacrifices. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I mentioned earlier how we are all descended from Adam and Eve, and that is why we are all actually related. But how is it possible? Cain killed Abel, and how was Cain going to find a wife with his arrogant and cocky attitude? The Bible teaches that God instructed Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to fill the earth. The first son they had after Abel was killed was called Seth, which means substitute. Genesis 5:4 further explains to us that Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters. And keep in mind that Adam lived for a whopping 930 years. That would have been ample time to build quite a substantial sized nation. Now, how shocking is this? Adam and Eve were the first people on earth. They had many children. That means that Cain and Seth and all of the other brothers must have married their own sisters. That is pretty much how I felt when I first learned about this, my brother as well. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. Isn't it wrong for a brother to marry his sister? To answer this question, you will have to concentrate so that I can explain a few little things to you. Your body is composed of billions and billions of tiny little cells. And inside each tiny little cell, we have even tinier little things called genes. These genes carry all the information that we inherited from our parents, like the color of our eyes and hair, the shape and size of our ears and hands, diseases, our temperaments, and thousands of other things. In other words, genes contains the information for the formation and functioning of each and every part of our bodies. It's almost like our software, and this information will one day be carried over to your children. As these genes are carried over from one generation to the next, mistakes sometimes slip in. We call these mistakes mutations. And mutations are responsible for hundreds of hereditary diseases such as cancer and various birth defects. Now, over the years, these mutations have increased in each new generation. Together with the fact that we inherited all the mutations of all the previous generations, new mutations are still developing today. Different families have different mutations. In other words, two people who come from different families usually carry different mutations or mutant genes. And when they get married and have children, the good genes or the genes that are not mutated will be in charge in their children. So their children should not have any defects or diseases caused by mutations. However, a brother and a sister, if they should get married and have children, the chances of defects and mutation diseases in their children are much, much higher because a brother and a sister come from the same family and therefore have a greater chance of bearing the same harmful mutations in their genes. In the beginning, this was not a problem. Mutations did not exist because Adam and Eve were created perfect. But because of the fall, everything, and I do mean everything, was negatively affected, even those tiny particles that we call genes. Initially, the appearance of genetic mutations was still very low, and that is why there were no genetic problems when Adam and Eve's children married each other and had children. It took many hundreds of years for mutations to increase to such an extent that it became dangerous for a brother to marry his sister. This is why, in the time of Moses, that is about 2,500 years later, God gave specific instructions about this. You can read about that in Leviticus 18, verse 9, and Deuteronomy 27, verse 22. This explains why it was acceptable for brothers and sisters to marry one another in the beginning, but not anymore today. Even with regards to our nieces and nephews and cousins, when first cousins marry and have children, the chances of them carrying a disease-forming mutation to their children is 1 in 8. So Adam and Eve's children had many children who also had many children who had even more children. Within a few hundred years, hundreds of thousands of people were living on earth, but most of them had absolutely no respect for God. The Bible tells us that everything they thought and did was evil continuously. They hated one another and committed the most insidious crimes. In fact, there was so much wickedness, hate, violence, and sin on earth that God was sorry that he made mankind. But amidst all of this wickedness, there was a man who remained faithful to God, and that man was Noah. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and bird of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible describes Noah as a righteous man who walked with God. Adam was Noah's great, 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 great grandpa. Noah had 3 sons, and they were called Shem, Ham, and Japheth. One day, God told Noah that he was going to send a great flood that would destroy all the people, land animals, and flying creatures because of all the violence and evil on the earth. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, before learning more about the flood, we will have a look at the ark in the next episode. I will see you there.